If you have your Bibles, go with me to James chapter 3, if you would. The latter half of James chapter 3 is a contrast between the false wisdom that's so available in this world and the real wisdom that only comes from God. Most people think that wise people understand everything God's doing in their life. They think that wisdom is being able to look at life perhaps like an air traffic controller would look at the runways at a busy airport. I will confess that I am equal parts amazed and flabbergasted by the air traffic controllers at DFW Airport. Did you know that 7,000 flights arrive and depart there on a daily basis? How they manage the constant takeoffs and landings and taxiing and delays and weather cancellations. It really is a modern marvel, isn't it? I'm glad I don't have that job, to be honest. The flabbergasting part, of course, is why in that huge airport you can't find one single gate if your pilot happens to do you the disservice of arriving just a few minutes too early. I've never understood that. You know, if we were to climb the tower and sit there with the air traffic controllers, we would see maps and charts and schedules and sonar that would help us to make sense of how they keep everything moving the way that they move. We might understand, for instance, why one plane is cleared for landing while another is stuck in a holding pattern. Why one plane can go straight to the gate, but the other plane is sent somewhere to sit for a while. And that's usually my plane, it feels like. A lot of people think that wisdom is like getting a bird's eye view of life, so that no matter what circumstances or difficulties may come, you instantly understand the meaning and purpose of it all. That wisdom is possessing the ability to explain the intricate movements of God's providence and why he does what he does in every particular case. Now, folks, that's not wisdom. That's omniscience. And only God knows everything. Wisdom is not like being an air traffic controller. Wisdom is more like driving on the freeway, having to respond to setbacks and obstacles in real time. You don't know why traffic is grinding to a halt on 35, but it is, so you have to navigate safely. You don't know why the person next to you is veering into your lane. You suspect it's because they're on their phone, but you have to drive defensively. You don't know why it's taking them 5 years to finish the project on I-20. The civil engineer has not explained that to you. But you just know that if you have to go that way, you better build in some extra time. Being wise does not mean that you know all that God knows. It means that you take all God wants you to know and you use it to walk in God's way in God's world. I don't know about you. I'd like to arrive safely in heaven without causing too many accidents on the freeway. I'd rather live wise than otherwise. And James gives us in this passage a concrete way to look at our lives and to see if we're living wise or otherwise. So look again at James 3 and verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. In this passage, James exposes the false wisdom that's so common in this world and extols the kind of wisdom that can only come from God. Now, we noticed last week that in verse 13, James gave a challenge to conventional wisdom. He said that contrary to popular opinion, wisdom is not just what you know or what you say. Wisdom is really seen by what you do. As Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. So do you want to know if someone's wise? You want to know if you're wise? Look at their lives. Look at your life. Are we walking in God's way? Are we doing it with meekness? Are we humble and coachable and correctable? Because that's where real wisdom is to be found. Then in verses 14 and 16, James provided an expose on false wisdom. And he said, false wisdom is motivated by two terrible motivations, envying and strife. And those motivations really drive so much of what happens in this world. Whether it's the business world or the political world, our lives at home, if we're not careful, even our lives at church. James reminds us that if bitter envying or strife have anything to do with it, that's how you know that kind of wisdom is not from above. It comes from the unholy trinity of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the results of that kind of wisdom, he says, are confusion and every evil work. That's what we can expect in our lives if we don't seek God's wisdom. A life of confusion and a life that sees evil. If your wisdom comes from beneath you, around you, or inside you instead of above you, your wisdom is false wisdom, James says. Well, now we're moving to new territory. In verses 17 and 18, James gives us an appraisal of real wisdom. And James has good news. There is wisdom in this world that does not originate from this world. It descends from heaven. It's the kind of wisdom that Daniel had, and the kind of wisdom that Solomon had, and the kind of wisdom that Jesus had. Only God can give real wisdom, but you can have it. And in this passage, James gives us the characteristics of what real wisdom looks like. First, he says in verse 17, real wisdom is pure. Now, he puts this at the top of the list because this is the characteristic that all of the others really flow from. The word pure here means undefiled. It refers to moral purity. I'm going to help you look at your decisions in a way that's going to bring great clarity to you this morning. Are you ready? If you have to sin to do it, it's not wise. If you have to sin to get it, it's not wise for you to have it. And one way that you can know whether something is wise or otherwise is just ask yourself the question, will there be any defilement in this? Will this cause me to lose even a speck of my purity? Will I have to sin in any way to do it or have it? If I do, it isn't wise. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Listen, when the heart is pure, the vision is clear. When your heart is pure, you can see. When you're motivated by the glory of God, you'll be able to make decisions in a wise way. You'll be able to tell whether something is right or wrong, able to tell whether it's wise or unwise. So if you want to live a wise life, James is saying prioritize purity. Get right with God. Get all the sin out of your life. And only then will you be able to see your decision with clarity. The wisdom that comes from above is first pure. Then he says, it's peaceable. We contrast this with a worldly wisdom that's full of bitter envying and strife. This world's wisdom will make you a troublemaker. God's wisdom will make you a peacemaker. Now, I know, folks, that there is a time to fight. When it comes to standing up for the truth or standing up for someone else that's weaker than you, well, it's time to fight. And as a church, we want to take a strong stand on God's word, don't we? We sure do. But we don't want to be a church that has a bad, cantankerous spirit. I know a lot of churches like that. You know, some Christians use the Bible like it's a club. They throw their olive branch with a catapult. I mean, they fight to live and they live to fight. James is telling us that's an unwise way to live. God is a peacemaker. And when you're walking in God's wisdom, you'd rather make peace than make trouble. Then James says God's wisdom is gentle. Now the word gentle just means considerate. And it also stands in contrast to that word he used, strife. Strife is me before you living. Gentleness is you before me living. One commentator said, this word describes the kind of person who, though wronged and possessing the right not to bend, nevertheless forgoes his right. He's gentle. He's considerate. Then James says, the wisdom that comes from above is easy to be entreated. What does that mean? Well, it means a person is willing to submit to persuasion. They're open to reason. They don't think they know everything. They don't think they've arrived. I heard a great story many years ago about President Abraham Lincoln. They were right in the middle of this Civil War, and he issued a command as a commander-in-chief to transfer one of his regiments to another place. Well, his Secretary of War at the time was a man by the name of Edwin Stanton. And Stanton would not comply with the order. And when asked why he wouldn't, he said, because Lincoln is a fool. Can you imagine saying that about your boss? But when someone told Lincoln what Stanton said, Lincoln replied, if Stanton said I'm a fool, then I must be, for he's nearly always right. I'll go see for myself. So they sat down and they talked about it. And Lincoln realized his decision was faulty, and he reversed his course. You know, folks, an open mind is essential if you're going to be any wiser in the future than you are today. If you're the kind of person who's never lost a fight, rarely says you're sorry, too big to learn from someone else, beyond persuasion, beyond reason, then you are beyond wisdom itself. Real wisdom is easy to be entreated. Then James says it's full of mercy and good fruit. In my Bible, I connected the words good fruit in verse 17 with the words evil work in verse 16 with his work in verse 13. The fruit of worldly wisdom is evil. It seeks my good at the expense of someone else's good. It's not merciful at all. The fruit of heavenly wisdom is that it seeks others' good at the expense of my own. It treats others better than you treat yourself. Then James goes on to say that the wisdom that descends from above is without partiality and hypocrisy. And those are two themes that he has emphasized repeatedly already in this letter. Now, get what he's saying this morning. When you're living by heavenly wisdom, your motives will be pure. In your heart of heart, you'll be right with God. Your actions will be peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and hypocrisy. James tells us lastly this morning about the result of real wisdom. Look again at verse 18, if you would. He says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. If you live in this way, what can you expect? Well, James says the fruit of righteousness. The seed that brings forth that fruit, he says, is peace. And it is sown by people who make peace. I know righteousness is one of those big Bible words. What does it mean? For the Christian, righteousness is just living in practice what God has made you in position. Living in practice what God has made you in position. I like what one author said. Righteousness is living in the robes that Christ purchased for you. We remember this morning that we were unrighteous, that we had no hopes of ever becoming righteous on our own. Our righteousness was to God, as the Bible says, as filthy rags. That's how God sees the best of us. So the Bible says that the righteous, sinless Son of God came into this world. and that he went to the cross so he could die for our unrighteousness. And in that wonderful moment, he took the dirty garments of my sin so that he might give me the clean and sparkling robes of his righteousness. And that was given to me the moment I placed my faith and trust in Christ. And now, praise God, when he sees me, he no longer sees those filthy rags. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. That's good news, isn't it? We are in position righteous if we know Christ. But once we know Christ, we want to live in those robes. We want day by day to become more like Christ, to be in practice on a Monday morning what God has made us in position for all of eternity. You know, the longer I live for Christ and walk with Christ, the more I want to be like him. How about you? Not because I have to be like him to be saved, but because I'm grateful for the salvation that he's given. Because I recognize it is wise for me to live like Jesus. And when you live this way, when your motives are pure, when you're a peaceable person, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and hypocrisy. The Bible says day by day you'll become just a little bit more like the Savior who saved you. I don't know about you, that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. When we are motivated by envy and strife, James reminds us chaos and evil will reign. But when we are pure in our motives and receiving heavenly wisdom, peace and righteousness will reign. Isn't that what you want in your heart? For the peace and righteousness of God to reign? Isn't that what you want for your home? For the peace and righteousness of God to reign? I tell you, it's what all of us ought to want for this church. That the peace and righteousness of God would reign. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for giving us a passage that helps us evaluate our lives to see whether we are living in your wisdom or we're not. Lord, all of this is fine to define words and to talk about this as a theory, but we need the Holy Spirit to do the heart work of application this morning. Help us to think about our interactions with people over the last 7 days, to think about the way we speak, to think about the way that we make the decisions that we make. And help us to ask ourselves, and may you answer, whether we're really living in wisdom or not. Search our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts. We know the result of living your way will be peace and righteousness, and how we want that. But if we continue going in our way, confusion and every evil work, deliver us from that. And with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I just want to ask you during these next few moments, be a fruit inspector. All of us are good at looking at other people's fruit. Today, let's leave everybody else alone. Let's just look at our own fruit. Is your life characterized by purity? In your heart, are you right with God today? Are you living for the glory of God? Think about your family. Think about your relationships at work and relationships with people here at church. Are they characterized by peace, gentleness, open-mindedness, mercy, good fruit? Could you honestly say this morning that righteousness and peace are reigning in your heart and reigning in the places where you go most? Or if you look at your life, can you see confusion? And every evil work. I think the application is simple this morning. Turn to the way of wisdom. Stop looking around and inside and look up. Ask for the wisdom today that only God can give. And leave here today committed to walk in it. God wants you to have his wisdom. Jesus died so you could have his wisdom. Take it today. and live by it. Is there anyone here who would say, Pastor Gillett, to be honest, if I were to die today, I'm not sure I'd go straight to heaven. Would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? I'm not sure I've ever been saved the Bible way. Pastor, would you please pray for me? God loves you, and Jesus died for you, and you can be saved today. And here in just a moment, we want to ask you to stand. And when we stand, we're going to ask you to come forward. And if you're here without Christ, someone will take a Bible and show you in a private, personal way how you can be saved today. Now, let's be honest this morning, Christians. This is not for my benefit, it's for the Lord's. Let's be really honest with the Lord today. How many of you could say, I know I'm not perfect, and I know that I don't always live according to God's wisdom, but as I look at those characteristics, by God's grace, those things are present in my life. And I can honestly say, as best I know how, I'm right with God, and I'm walking in God's wisdom today. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? God bless you. That's many of you. I did notice that many couldn't raise their hands. And I tell you what, you ought to get thoroughly right with God today. You ought to turn to God's wisdom. You ought to not just hear a message about it today, you ought to put it into practice as you leave this place and go to work and go home over the next week. If you couldn't raise your hand, why don't you make some decisions and commitments? If there's some sin to get right with God, get it right today. You need to come and ask for wisdom, come and ask for it. God help all of us to obey him. Father, bless this time of invitation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.